Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
I was going to preach a sermon this week called Transformed to be Ambassadors, and then God changed it. So you have to come back next week to hear Transformed to be Ambassadors. But this week I felt it necessary to talk about how we can get past our past. To getting past our past and talking about how to get past our past or being transformed from the past. Because the truth is we can't be ambassadors for Jesus if we're being held captive by our past. We need to be transformed ourselves first. So I want to set this up for the next 2 weeks by telling you a story from my childhood. And if those who know me know, I have two brothers, two younger brothers actually, and the three of us were hard work for my mum. So if you're watching, Mum, you did a great job. Love you if you're watching. But it was hard work for my mum. Like the three of us sent her grey by the time she was 30. She started dyeing the grey out of her hair because we were hard work, three boys, you know, all 2 years apart, and we were hard work. And so my mum did the best she can, but we kind of made her insane a little bit. I mean, one day we even, my brother, you remember the old dial telephones, those who were old enough, and remember the big rounded head that used to, you know, well, my brother hit me with one of them once. So I pushed him through the glass sliding door. Like, that's the type of hard work we're talking about here. He's fine. There's some mental issues with him, but that's okay. It wasn't the iPhone. It was the big, heavy one. And so, yeah, I pushed him through, and we were hard work. And so my mum thought, you know what? I need to get some strict training into these kids and sent us to a private school. All of us went to a private school from the local government school. And so year seven, there I am, new school, new classroom, new kids around me, new teacher. I remember the teacher, his name was Mr. Jenkins. And Mr. Jenkins was a teacher and he did what teachers do, you know. He got a book out and he gave it to the first person in the class on the desk and said, stand up, read a page, then pass the book on to the next person. And so you had to read a page out in front of the class and, you know, kind of to the whole class. And I'm new, right? And I don't like reading at the best of times. I can read and I like, you know, but I prefer to read short articles, quick, beginning, conclusion, we're done. But this day, yeah, as I remember, Mr. Jenkins handed the book and I did what all boys do in year seven, go, please let it stop at that person just before me or just there, you know, so I don't have to do it. And so I'm praying this in my head, really didn't want to stand up. Anyway, it gets to me, I stand up, I read the page, I sit down, pass it to the next person and away we go. Then the sound that all boys want to hear in year seven is that recess bell. And the recess bell rings and I'm thinking, yes. And then I heard the words that no year seven boy wants to hear when the recess bell goes, Mr. Schatz, can you just stay here for a minute? Oh. Okay, part of me wanted to say, heck no, but I did what all year seven boys do in private schools, go, yes, sir. And so I stay and... He says to me, hey, you're reading. I went, yeah. He goes, you don't read well. And I went, okay. He goes, you got the reading ability of a year one. And I'm in year seven, right? This is year one. And I don't remember anything else he said, apart from the fact that he said that I had the reading ability of a year one in year seven. I remember the feeling of being not good enough. I remember the feeling of being not being smart enough. I remember the feeling of being broken, that there was something wrong with me. Truth is, there is a lot of things wrong with me, and one of them was ADHD. The truth was, they were teaching me too slow, and so I got bored and switched off in year one and never really switched back on until year seven. And then I did like 10 years worth of learning in like a year or something. But the truth was, I remember the feeling. I remember the feeling, and I'm not a betting man, but I could guarantee you that if you're in the room today and if you're watching online, There's something that someone has said to you in the past. There is something that someone has said to you or done towards you. There is something that has happened that has made you feel broken or not great, just something that just doesn't quite make you feel right. There's something that haunts you, or a thought or a line that haunts you to this day. If you're going to come to me and say you're perfect, I'll call you Jesus. Because, you know, we all have that moment, that thing, that word, that experience, that time, that kind of can trap us and hold us. But then I read scriptures like this, and we're going to focus on one scripture today, just one verse of scripture. And in that verse, we're going to do two words. Something I've never done before in my life is preached on one verse with two words. You know this verse. It's a verse that we tell all the time. It's a verse that we explain, a verse that we rout out all the time. It says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Probably not necessary to look it up. We're going to put it on the screen for you anyway. It says this, therefore, say therefore. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Say in Christ. Now say it like you know you're saved by grace. Say in Christ. Come on, say it like you know the old is gone and the new is here. Claiming that verse of scripture, say in Christ. Well, you're just not good enough for me today yet. Say in Christ like you know you've been transformed from death to life and you are living with God, experiencing God, having God's Holy Spirit running through you and that resurrection power just hitting your soul. Say in Christ. Right, now you're starting to get it. We need to get excited about this idea of being in Christ because when we're in Christ, the old has gone. Amen? Amen? But here's the thing. I know the old is gone, but I still remember Mr. Jenkins. And I still remember all the dumb stuff that I've done. And I still remember people's thoughts and words and things towards me. I still remember all of this stuff. And I could say, yeah, I'm in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come, but I don't feel that sometimes. If you're drifting off to sleep right now, which I hope you're not because Ange just woke us all up, or you're counting bricks because you kind of heard this sermon before, just here's the big idea. Here's the takeaway. Just tune in for a second here because this is it. If you don't let go of your past, your past won't let you live now. I need to say that again because some people got it. Some people are kind of going, what? If you do not let go of your past will not let you live now. See, if we are in Christ, say in Christ, we are new creations. That word creations is translated better as creatures. We are new creatures. We have been made new. What happened when we became in Christ, when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, our souls, the old was taken away and the new was inputted in. We have new souls and that soul now, that spirit, so to speak, sorry, is what's actually transforming us from the inside out. This idea that we got a new soul and it's perfect, this spirit is perfect, it's the Holy Spirit living in us, and then we make our bodies and our minds subject to the newness. It's like having a new operating system in a computer. It works completely differently. And if we're in Christ, we have that newness inside. But unless we come to believe that we're in Christ and fully understand what that is, unless we come to believe we are new creatures, unless we come to believe that the slate has been washed clean, that we are clean from sin and shame and wrongdoing, unless we take hold of that verse as it is and be in Christ, our past will continue to hold us down. And I just want to today help some people get over their past, getting past their past, because the truth is, it holds us sometimes. So I'm going to say three things that are real, are true, and authentic, that you can bank on for those who are in Christ. Is that okay with you? Yeah. Well, I wasn't really asking, but I'm glad it's okay with you. Three things if you're in Christ. Number one, in Christ, I am, we are completely forgiven. We are completely forgiven. Now, there are some people in this world, let's be honest, that it's hard to forgive. They've done some stuff to us, or they've said some things, or they've acted in a certain way. That's really, really hard for us to forgive. Let's be honest with that, right? Like, yeah, you're with me? It's hard to get along with them. It's hard to forgive them. It's hard to talk to them. It's hard to even be in the same room as them. It's easy to pray for them that a bus would run them over in the middle of the night. No, we don't do that. Easy to pray for them, but hard to forgive them. We know these people. We have these people in our lives, and I get the idea of that. And so when we think of forgiveness, we think about it like that. But God doesn't have this problem. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all stuffed up. We've all got, you know, this thing going on. And God doesn't have a scale of sin or a scale of badness. We're all in the bad category. But God has forgiven us because we are in Christ. Because when we were in Christ, we were made new. Our spirits were made whole. If we're in Christ, we are new creatures. The old spirit, the old sinful nature is gone. We are brand new creatures, brand new in Christ. In Christ. It's not a coat. And this is the problem, is we think about it like a coat. We put the coat of forgiveness on and we're forgiven. Truth is, underneath that coat is still all the dirty marks and all the things. Forgiveness doesn't work that way. And forgiveness isn't earned either. It isn't achieved. Forgiveness is received. We receive forgiveness. We don't achieve forgiveness. We can't work for it. We can't do anything for it. We can't get there because it's received, not achieved. And don't get me wrong. Like, I hear the devil on my shoulder going, well, Mark, you're just whatever. You're just a drunk. You used to drink a lot. Can you remember when you did that? Or I will listen to a piece of music and I'll hear the devil go, you know, the last time you heard this song, you were doing this, 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 and this. And the truth is, the devil doesn't have to lie. I've done some dumb stuff. We've all done dumb stuff. We've all sinned. We've all been there. He doesn't have to lie about some of the things I've done. I know what I've done. But instead of looking at this idea of forgiveness being a coat, something we have to work for and achieve, it's actually something we receive. It's given to us. It's given to, completely given. And it starts inside the Spirit, working out, not out, working in. Does that make sense? We are completely forgiven if we are in Christ. Say in Christ. Number two, second point, if you're in Christ, we are valuable. One amen. All right. We are valuable people. We are valuable. Okay. On the 29th of September, 2002, I got a chance to stand right at the front of the church and watch this beautiful woman walk down the aisle and take my hand in marriage. And 19 years later, she's still by my side and I'm still batting out of my league. Like, she is that good. And I got a chance, but I remember her walking down the aisle and not being able to take my eyes off of her. So much so that she actually started laughing as she was walking down the aisle towards me because she thought I was freaking out because I was locked in. She's a beautiful woman and... my wife there coming down to be, you know, I was locked into her. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And now that I'm a pastor and I get to marry people, I have a license to marry people, I've done a number of weddings, and for me, I like to watch the grooms, no longer watch the brides. I want to see what the grooms do. I mean, it's always fun. Some of them are nervous and they're, you know, shaking, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. I've seen one with tears go down the side of the cheek and stuff like that. But there was this couple in Kalgoorlie. And this guy, well, she said it actually, but this guy did exactly what I did, just locked on and just saw his bride walking down. And as the bride walked down, he locked on and his eyes were there and he didn't shift. I'm pretty sure he forgot everyone was there, and he just married the woman of his dreams. And afterwards, I was talking to the bride, and she said something to me that was so profound in my thinking and so profound in what she said that she didn't even realize how profound it actually was. What she said was, I wish I could see me with the same eyes that my husband sees me with. And I just went, wow. Wow. She understood a concept that was, when I look in a mirror, I go, and hide. But when my husband looks at me, he sees me as valuable. He sees me as worthy. He sees me as the bride. You know, he sees me with this sense of something. I wish I could see him the way I, through his eyes, see me. It was so profound. But the truth is, when we look in the mirror, we see that, don't we? We see our faults. We see our failings. We know what we think. We know how bad we actually are sometimes. We know that, you know, to God, who is perfect and beyond time and space, that he is so, so grand, and yet we are these sinful creatures because we look at ourselves in the mirror. But what we actually need to do is do what happened here. Actually see ourselves through the way God sees us, which is in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Let me hammer the point, because I think you need hammering of this point down, right? Let me come at it at a different angle. I've seen some pretty ugly stuff come through the thrift shop, right? And I wouldn't buy it. Wouldn't even pay 5 cents for it. But others walk in and pay a fortune for it. You see, value on that sense of the word is determined by what someone will pay for it. When you get married, it costs a fortune. It's getting more expensive every time. But it's about what you pay for, what someone is willing to pay for. You see, you and me, we're valuable to God, and we are so valuable that he sent his son from heaven to earth, from a place of glory to this planet of darkness, from a place of absolute, you know, he had everything. He was God supreme, and then he sent his son to earth to dwell amongst us in our mess, in our misery, in our sin, in our shame, and then went to the cross, paid the price that we couldn't pay, one that we couldn't earn, one we couldn't work towards, one we couldn't have enough money to pay. We couldn't do anything to get this price paid, and yet God sends his son. What a cost. But that's how valuable you are to God. He doesn't take his eyes off of you. He's locked in. The psalmist said that he doesn't sleep or slumber. He watches you when you sleep. That sounds a bit creepy, but God does watch you when you sleep. And he paid the ultimate price to get to know you, to have an opportunity to be with you, for you to know him and to have access to heaven, to spend eternity with him. I don't know about you, but that's a large cost for something that I think is worthless, but God thinks is valuable. Make sense? See, Jesus is bigger than our mess and our misery and our wrongness. He's bigger than all of that. And so instead of seeing ourselves in the mirror and looking at us with our eyes, we need to see ourselves looking at it from God's perspective towards us, that we are valuable in his eyes. Which brings me to point number three that I want to share with you right now, is that in Christ, say in Christ. And I say it louder than that. Say in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. We are unconditionally loved. Remember those people that I was talking about right at the start about, you know, hard to get along with, hard to forgive? Well, there's other people in my life that are, I love them. I'll do anything for them, take my kids. The day they were born, I fell in love with them. My children. The day they were born, I just loved them. But let's face it, they come out looking coned heads and all over. They don't look pretty. And let's face it, for the first year of raising children, it's not pretty. They cry, they poo, they eat, they sleep, they cry and they poo and they eat and they sleep. And that's all they actually do. And if you actually, you know, you change their nappies, and then they show off their ability to do number twos only 2 to 4 minutes later after changing their nappies, and they keep you awake all night long. Like, why would you love something like that? But yet we love our kids. Like, let's face it, there were some days where if we made it out of the house without wee poo vomit on us, we're doing well. Milk throw up something, like, we're doing well. And yet we love them unconditionally. And now that they're older, my kids, I love them to bits, but they back chat and they stay up too late and disobey what I ask them to do, and they don't do their jobs, and they still cry. You know, they demand, they have attitudes, and they're going through, you know, hormonal changes. All that's going on, and I just want to scream at them and shout at them, and I would sometimes do. I'm not perfect, and, you know, I get that. But I still love them. I don't think there's anything that they could do that I won't, that would turn my love away against them. You know, I love them unconditionally. No one had to teach me how to love them. I just love them. I love them. And I think I've realized why. Because my love for them is not based on their performance. Because let's face it, when they were under one, their performance was pretty junk. When they're 12, their performance is still junk. I love them because of their performance. I love them because of their position in our family. Another amen. Great. We need to... We can't impress God. We can't impress him. We can't be perfect for him. We could say to him, we've memorized this piece of scripture. He'll turn around and go, well, I wrote the whole Bible. Like, we cannot impress God. And his love for us is not based on our performance. His love for us is based on our position in Christ. Say in Christ. In Christ. Okay, Chris, where's Christy? Can you come up and start playing some keys for me? In Christ. Say in Christ. You see, God's love for us is not based on what we do. It is based on our position in the family. And let me read you these verses from Romans. Paul wrote this, but God wrote it through Paul. It says this: I am convinced that nothing could ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Did you hear it? In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. You see, when we're in Christ, we can let go of the things that have happened before us. It doesn't mean that we don't have those things there. It doesn't mean that we forget those things. It means that we have been completely forgiven in Christ. It means that we've been made valuable in Christ, that we are valuable, that we are unconditionally loved. And when those three things line up, we can look at the things of the past and go, that no longer bothers me. I get the idea of feeling broken at times, of things that people have said in the past, things that people have done, impacting us for who we are. But we see it from our level. God doesn't work this way. And so today I just wanted to encourage you, because we need to let go of the past, some of those things that people have said and done, so that we can live now. That God wants us to live full lives, to be transformed from the inside out. In Christ, I am forgiven. In Christ, I am valuable. And in Christ, I am unconditionally loved. And so I want to just throw a couple of things at you today. If you are watching online, or you're in the room and you just need to go, you know what, I need to be in Christ. Maybe you've never taken that step to say, I want to be in Christ. I want Christ to dwell in my heart and to be in Christ, and I want to be in that moment. If that is you, what we're going to do is I want you to stand as we sing this song. It's going to be an old song that with beautiful lyrics, in Christ alone, when we get there. But if you're in that space where you need to go, you know what, I've been struggling around this and I don't know if I am in Christ, then I want you to stand. If you're watching us online, please just reach out. Say, like, private message the page or do something to reach out to us so that we can share with you how you can be in Christ. Maybe today there's things in your past that you need to let go of, that have held you back, that have trapped you. We all have a Mr. Jenkins Year 7 story. A story of what people have said, what people have done that we sometimes haunts us to this day. And maybe today is the day that you go, what? I'm going to let go of that. And if you're in that category, I want you to stand up too. And claim the fact that in Christ you are forgiven, completely forgiven. That in Christ you are valuable. That in Christ you are unconditionally loved. And let go of the stuff holding you back. That those chains break, the past, let it go. And so if you're in that category, do business with God today. We're going to sing a song, In Christ Alone. And I'm going to get the singers to come back up because I just felt it necessary today to tell you that we can be set free from our pasts. In fact, we need to be transformed ourselves before we can be ambassadors of Jesus. We've got to understand that transformational power for ourselves, to let go of the past so that we can live now. So let's sing this song, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. The words are coming up on the screens now. Let's sing. He is my light, my strength, and my song.